All right, the Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thus ends the reading, amen, of God's word. Amen. Amen. Did y'all hear that? I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 in the New Living Translation says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. Oh, that's good. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Amen. I want to talk about this morning, if y'all give me a few minutes. Amen. The trial of your faith. The trial of your faith. Amen. The trial of your faith. My brothers and sisters, I want you to be mindful of, and I want you to know that your faith is going to be tested. Has your faith in Christ ever been tested? Amen. Your faith in God, has it ever been tested? Amen. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that we live in the last and evil days. And it seems like the more faith we put in God, the more faith we put in the ability of Jesus Christ, the more we seem to be tested. Amen. You start putting your money in church. And it seems like something at the hot water heater is going to go out. And then that next Sunday, you're going to be faced with, am I going to give my tithe to the church? Or am I going to get my water heater fixed? Amen. Even in our relationship, seems like we start going to church and things are going good. Amen. Our children are doing well. We go to church and then all of a sudden, it seems like the bottom falls out. Amen. Amen. We've been doing good for a long time, and then all of a sudden, the trials come. My brothers and sisters, I've said many times here at Orange Chapel that we don't live a crossless Christianity. Amen. We all have a cross that we must bear. Amen. But the Bible tells us that the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but those that endure till the end. So guess what? Your faith today ought to be the same faith you have tomorrow, regardless of what storm you go through in the middle. Amen. And when we go through trials and tests, my brothers and sisters, that is an opportunity for us to really see God show up and show out in our lives. Amen. Those of us that claim to be born again Christians, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, what are you going to do when the trials come to you? How do we react when our children are sick? Do we ask God, why me? How do we react when we're going through our trials and our tests? Are we standing on the word? Or are we standing up crying? Trouble in my way. Gotta cry sometime. So much trouble. I stay awake at night. But Peter went to sleep. In the middle of the prison with 16 soldiers surrounded and one on each side, he went to sleep because the church was praying. Amen? The trial of your faith. In the book of 1 Peter, we find that Peter is writing to the churches of Asia Minor. And the majority of the people during this time were still ruled by the Roman Empire. That the Roman regime is really what was the strongest at this particular time. Jesus Christ has already died. He rose again. He's gone to prepare a place. And Peter and many of the other disciples are out delivering the word of God. And we see that during this particular time, those Christians that were left in those provinces of Asia Minor, they were looked down upon. The people that were high in the hierarchy of the Roman Empire, they're looking down upon the Christians because they think they're crazy. You ever told somebody you were a child of God and said, you crazy? The trial of your faith. There were many people that didn't understand why the Christians did what they did, why they participated even in the Lord's Supper. There were some people that had it twisted. They thought that the Lord's Supper was something where they got together and had this bloody sacrifice. And all they were doing were having wine and bread, communion bread, amen? Unleavening bread. But people that didn't know wondered what was going on inside the walls. Amen, because these people, the Christians would go off to themselves and have their meetings. Amen, and they would pray to this God. These folks were tripping. What's wrong with y'all? Y'all look crazy. And you know that on every side, at this particular time in the Bible, that the Christians' lifestyle was under the microscope and they were looked down upon. Does that not remind you of how things are today? We've taken prayer out of schools. Amen. Separation of church. You say anything about the Lord at work, then people looking at you crazy. People start getting nervous when you start talking about God. And those Christians, during this particular time in the book of 1 Peter, were going through the same things that you and I go through. Amen? But what Peter was doing, he was writing them and making them well aware of all the temptations that were going to come upon them, all the things, the ways that they were going to be tested. And he had encouraged them to remember the lifestyle that Jesus Christ lived. Amen. Though people were fighting against Christ from day one, he said, y'all, you still walk with your head up. Amen. And don't get caught up with what's going on in the world around you. My brothers and sisters, we are peculiar people. And it's very important that we don't get caught up in the things that are going on in the world, because you know what? We're going to be called on to be a witness for Christ. You know that when you proclaim to be a Christian, my brothers and sisters, that some people can't see Jesus, they can only see you. Amen. And that's why it's important for us as leaders, my brothers and sisters, to walk right and do what the Lord says do. Now, how are we going to know what the Lord says do if we don't read our Bibles? If we don't attend Bible study, if we don't come to church, how are we going to know? Peter writes this, and he knows that the people are under, basically being almost like persecuted. Peter's in Rome and he writes this letter because he's concerned with the people that are in the province of Asia Minor. He was in Rome at this particular time, and we know that because of the time period here, this is near the end of Peter's life. He's getting close to the end, but he's still, amen, on the road for Christ. He's still fighting for Christ. He's still standing up on the word, amen. The book of 1 Peter encourages Christians to maintain a life of holiness in the midst of pressures created by non-Christians. Isn't that hard for us sometimes to continue to live a holy life when we're surrounded by people that aren't living holy? Amen. I don't know about you, it was hard for me. Amen. Y'all know what I had to do. Let me help y'all. Can I keep it real for a minute? Better be real careful about the place based on where we are in this thing. Some of us are big Christians. Some of us are medium-sized Christians. Some of us are little baby Christians, right? Well, when I was a little baby Christian, I loved me some Tupac. Tupac and Biggie, I had them all. Every CD they made, every one of them, and could rap right along with them. All of it. So, Tony, when I was a baby Christian, first thing I had to do, because see, when I listen to Pac, they just do something to me. I listen to Tupac, I just, I'm just a thug all of a sudden. I'm a gangster. So for several, I ain't telling y'all, this is what I had to do. I had to get Biggie and Tupac out of my CD case. Because I couldn't, I'd be listening to Tupac on the way to this church. Deacon Smith said, oh, Lord, what? Pastor, don't keep it that real. You're going to run people off. Because you know what? There's somebody right there with me. Amen? And what I had to do was I said, you know what, man? For me to get this thing right, man, I gotta practice it. I gotta practice it. I know I'm not right, but I gotta practice being right. Woo! Somebody said practice makes perfect, but I disagree. Perfect practice makes perfect. So you gotta practice a thing right to do it right. So I said, cause Pac got me wanting to do this stuff. Biggie got me. Tonight's about you having my baby, baby. Days I couldn't listen to it and be right. How you living, big? In Badgers and Benzes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. But what I had to do is I had to take those out of my CD case. Amen. And I had to give me some John P. Key and some Mighty Clouds of Joy, some Keith Wonderboy Johnson, I had to give me some church CDs. And man, I started waiting. And this jam's all right. Amen. Then I started, you know, acting a little better, treating, because I love music. Y'all can tell, I'm remixed, I deserve. But for a time period, Brother Eli had to cut some of that stuff out. And because of my faith in Christ, I said, you know, Lord, I love music, but he taught me, amen, that there were some things I just had to cut out, amen? Because what happened was I was just drawn to those type of people and those types of places because that's what was in my ear. We got to be careful what's in our ear, my brothers and sisters, amen? Amen. And guess what? Y'all had to cut out some of my homeboys. Man, I had a friend that cussed so much, man. And I used to like to hang out with him because I just like the way he cussed. Now I'm like, nah, you know, I had to cut him out. Amen? So, but what Peter's telling him, listen, guys, what we have to do is y'all stick together. You remain and you keep your life holy. You keep moving toward the way that Christ lived. Guess what? You emulate that life. That's the point I'm trying to get across this morning. Amen? Y'all going to roll with me? The trial of your faith. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So he said, listen, your trials, oh, this is awesome, y'all, being much more precious than gold. Your trials, your faith is much more precious than gold. Amen. Your faith is more precious than gold. But guess what? Gold has gone through a purification. It's gone through the fire. And guess what? Your faith is going to go through the fire. Amen. Has your faith ever been tested? Your faith is going to go through the, you know, it's just like church. You know, we're preaching and teaching and you like, you know, you look out and say, wow, I wonder did they get it? And then you start, a lot of times you start to question yourself. You know, then you come up one Sunday, nobody's here. Like, oh, man, what'd I do? So, yo, our faith is going to be tried and tested in whatever it is that we're doing. Amen? Through our family. Somebody can say amen on that one. But that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So guess what? This stuff that we go through down here, when we keep the faith in God, guess what? When Jesus comes back, he said, that's my boy right there. Because he was tried, he was tested, he went through trials and tribulations, but he made it. He's still standing. He got a black eye. Amen. He's on one foot. But he made it. Ain't that good? The Canton Spirituals had a song said, I may be sick. I may be blind and cannot see, but you can look for me. But don't call the roll until I get there. That's what the song said. Lord, don't call the roll till I get there. Let's look at this thing. The trial of your faith, temptation. See, we are tempted when our faith is tried, temptation comes in. Amen? Are y'all with me? Let's roll. Temptation comes in. Watch this. 2 Peter 2 and 9. Turn her real quick because I'm going to try to finish in 15 minutes. We're going to look at the A part of this. 2 Peter 2 and 9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly, what? Out of temptations. That's what the word says. Amen? So every Christian experiences temptation, and Satan tries to catch the Christian slipping. Amen? So when you say, I got faith in God, the first thing he's going to do is try to catch you slipping. I dare you to say you're a child of God in front of folk, because you'll be tested on it the next week. Jamar, you see what he did to you? Jamar, join church. You don't mind, do you? Jamar, join church. And look what happened. The next week, he wasn't here. And guess what? In some of y'all's mind, where's that brother, that young boy that joined church? He ain't even here. Just joined last Sunday, and he ain't back the next Sunday. His son got sick. His firstborn, never been that sick in his life. He said, you know what? I'm a mess. Jamar, he went up there and stood boldly, chest out. Amen. For Christ I live, for Christ I die. I want a jersey. I want to be a part of the OC. And in that very week, faith is tried. Faith is tested. Amen. And you had to call on the Lord, didn't you? Amen. Guess what? You had a church that did the same thing for you. Amen. But look at God. Amen. He showed back up this Sunday, got two soldiers with him. Amen. Ain't God good? We must not yield to temptation. We can overcome through decisions, through our discipline, and through determination. And guess what? Through divine help. James chapter 1 and verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive what? A crown, the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Did y'all see that? Blessed is the man. Men, I want y'all to hear this. Blessed is the man that what? Endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Ain't that good stuff? So guess what? When we endure with temptation, when temptation comes to us, and we stand, and we fight, let me tell y'all something, young men. You can fight everything but one thing, and that's that flesh stuff. Can I help y'all out right quick? The Bible does not command us to pray. It doesn't tell us to. It doesn't tell us to sing a hymn. When it comes to flesh, young women too, doesn't tell us to shout right now. But it tells us to flee from that. So guess what? When somebody starts, you all know what I'm talking about. That's why the kids in the back, so we can talk like this. When that stuff come up, guess what you got to do? Get out of there. Amen? Because you will get caught up. Amen? Amen, lights. You better get out of there. What you doing? No. Stop. No, run. I'm trying to help somebody. Amen. The trial of your faith. Temptation. So what Peter's saying to him, listen, temptation's gonna come. Some of y'all, because the Roman regime is so strong, because they look to be so prevalent, then some of y'all are gonna be tempted to say, you know what, this Christian stuff is too hard. I ain't doing it no more. Getting up, going to church at 9:45 for Sunday school, that's too hard. 11 o'clock, preach too long, sang too much. I'm gonna stay at home. Amen? Amen. Temptation. Next thing, for those of you that keep notes, resentment. Then resentment comes in. The trial of your faith. Resentment is a feeling of indignant displeasure or persistent ill will at something regarded as wrong, insult, or injury. Let's look at, amen. The Bible tells us that he that loveth not his brother abideth in what? In death. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So resentments. We as Christians, my brothers and sisters, need to get away with that whole resentment thing. Amen? Some of y'all think, somebody right now, just resent. Oh, I can't stand them. Can't stand them. Amen? You know what resentment does, Brother Eli? I ain't picking on you today. Brother Ricks, good to see you, brother. Resentment dwindles the physical, dwarfs the mental, and destroys the physical life of an individual. Resentment, that's that person you can't stand. I can't stand Deacon Smith. Every time I see him, it just... Y'all know that person? Every time you see him? Some of y'all got some ex-wives, some ex-husbands. When you just think about it, I'm going to throw up on myself. Brother, am I on it this morning? Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. You can sit by Sister Roberta anytime you want. But resentment dwindle the physical, dwarf the mental. Guess what? Your thinking ain't very big when folks mess you up like that. Make your mind small. All I can think about is I don't like Deacon Smith. I better not see him. I better not see him. Next time I see him, wherever. God better bless you because Maxie gonna dress you. Y'all heard that? That's old school. We used to say that back in my day. You remember that one? But guess what? We can be released from resentments, my brothers and sisters. We can be released from resentment through love and prayer. Because the Bible commands us to love our enemies. Bless them that despitefully misuse us, abuses us. Y'all, that's hard stuff. But that's Bible stuff. And guess what? If we do that, start loving your enemies and watch what God will do for you. Start loving your enemies and watch. Start hollering at your haters. Say, what's up? Hi, haters. Hi, haters. We good. Amen. One cannot, watch this, one cannot love and pray for another and hold resentment at the same time. You know that you can't pray for somebody if you're holding a grudge against them. So at the point where you pray for your enemies, you over it already. Because I'm telling you to pray for your enemies. Some of y'all right now saying, I can't do it. But watch what God will release. Watch what type of blessing he'll release in your life when you get over stuff. Because the Bible says, and I said this when church started this morning, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? And y'all know what? A holy God can't be around sin. Ooh-wee. So he went totally against his character. He went totally against his being, amen, to make us sons and daughters, to adopt us into his family. Amen? Y'all know how messed up we are. You know what? God know the stuff that don't nobody else know. God know that business that you ain't even putting on Facebook. Huh? That stuff that's in the closet. Skeletons in your closet. Some of y'all got some skeletons. Some of them skeletons still got meat on them. Amen? Resentment. So first we deal with temptation, then resentment. He said, listen, the trial of your faith, you got to fight through some stuff. Ooh, watch, look at this one. People in Asia, the Christians in Asia Minor. You know what's set up in some of them? Inferiority. They felt inferior to those of the Roman Empire. Amen? Okay, y'all need definition? situated lower down. So they felt like we're nothing and they're somebody. You ever felt like that before? Lower degree or rank, or of little or less importance. Christian brothers and sisters, you are important. You're so important that Christ died for you. Amen? So you can look at yourself in the mirror, pop your collar, and say, I am somebody. Amen? I'm God's child. The creator of all the ends of the earth is my daddy. Ain't that good stuff? Hallelujah, somebody. Philippians 4 and 13 says what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's why Tony got sold, because he can do all things through Christ to strengthen him. Amen. Got over that organ and started watching them brothers pray, and then started praying. Started watching them brothers play, and he said, Lord, I think, Lord, help me out with this. I know music, but Lord, that's, they doing something else, but Lord, help me. Oh, and listen at him now. Ooh-wee. Look at all these blessings coming. Hallelujah. Y'all know what? Inferior feelings hinders a Christian. Because we see the world blessed, don't we? I want some 24s too. But them brothers stand up out on the corner all day, you know, selling that stuff. They drive nice cars. But let me tell you something. I'd much rather have a permanent blessing. Amen. And temporary riches. Amen. Only what you do for Christ will last. Amen. Y'all know what the OGs say. Try to tell them, youngsters, dude, that's seasonal. That ain't life. Huh? That's seasonal. But some people making a lifestyle out of that. And you can't do it. Retirement, the pension plan for that is prison. I'm trying to help you young men out this morning. Don't let it fool you. We overcome that inferior feeling by doing, by working. Did y'all know that? By moving ahead, by believing the Holy Spirit, watch this, is within us. And that he is guiding. We're talking about the Holy Spirit the other night, right? So we have to believe that the Holy Spirit is guiding us, is directing us, is navigating us through life. Amen? And directing and speaking through us. Amen? You got to believe that faith. I'm talking about faith this morning. Next thing. Peter's dealing with the Christians, Asia Minor. He says, listen, you're going to deal with also in not only inferiority, but affliction. Woo. Anybody know what affliction is? Anybody ever been afflicted? Not you are afflicted. Dealing with affliction. The cause of persistent pain or distress. Great suffering. Some of us have gone through some terrible times in life. Amen. Some of us have gone through some times where all we can say is, Lord, have mercy. Some of us have wanted to pray and didn't know what to pray. So some of us have wanted to speak and didn't even know what to speak. Affliction. But watch this. Look what David said in Psalm 119 and 67. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Uh-oh. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So guess what? Before I went through a dry spell, a terrible time in my life, I was just clicking my heels, doing whatever I wanted to do. So guess what? Sometimes, let me give y'all an illustration of being afflicted. Apple trees. Anybody know much about an apple tree? Apple tree. If you go to an apple orchard, amen, if there's a tree in an apple orchard that is not producing fruit, apple tree, you have an apple orchard, supposed to produce fruit so you can harvest your fruit, your apples, and sell them and make money, right? So if you got a tree in an orchard, come here, Dez. Come here, DQ. Come here, Deacon McGuire. Now stand up right there. Stand up right there. Look at it. Don't they look good? Look at that. Tall. Almost tall. And not very tall. We got them in all flavors, too. Oh, man, you're producing fruit. Oh, look at this tree. Oh, great. Awesome. That's what you were planning. You were planning to produce apples. And apples, wow. We're gonna make it off this tree. Whoa, look. Trees producing fruit. We got apples for them. Got a short. This tree ain't doing what it ought to do. This tree's supposed to be called like we planted them at the same time. Affliction. Affliction is not always a bad thing, my brother. It says, watch this. The farmers that farm apples, they keep a machete with them. Ah! Then he pulls out a machete, and guess you know what he do to this one? Whack! Whack! He doesn't cut it down. He wounds the tree. He wounds the tree, and guess what? It straightens up and begins to produce what it was planted for. But my brothers and sisters, when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, huh? Sometimes we have to endure affliction. He ain't going to chop you down. He's just going to get you to straighten up. Amen, because he started growing out instead of up. And I tell her, what do I say all the time? That we live vertically, my brothers and sisters, not horizontally. The problem with most of us, we live in two. Low, we live in horizontal. We looking at each other instead of looking up, instead of growing up, getting closer to God. Amen. God bless your trees. Let's give our trees a hand. We must trust God during affliction. He has a purpose in what he allows and can work it out for our good. Watch this. Y'all know every Sunday. Bible says what? Romans 8:28. And we know what? All things work together for the good, for what? Those who love the Lord. So guess what? Even in your affliction, even in your times that you're down and out and it's a dry spell, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Oh, I'm almost done. Affliction. And then guess what? The trial of your faith, my brothers and sisters. Sometimes you're going to experience loneliness. Anybody ever felt, you ever felt lonely? Yeah, she raised her hand. Yeah. Loneliness. That means a state of being lonely. But you know what? Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many of y'all know you got a daddy that'll never leave you or forsake you? I don't care what your biological father did. Your heavenly father will never leave you nor forsake you because he left you with somebody. He didn't leave you with something. He left you with somebody. See, when your earthly father dies, if he's been a decent dad, he gonna leave you a little something. Some of us ain't gonna get nothing. But your heavenly father left you somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Many people are lonely. You know what? Sin, sorrow, suffering, and separation brings loneliness. Some of us lonely because we set it up. Nobody want to be around us. Y'all remember that homeboy that when you get ready to go out, he can't go with us because every time he go out, he start a fight. Don't let him ride. We had a homeboy. We left because he never would pay his own way. We get to the door. Man, I forgot my money. Y'all got a homeboy like that, don't you? Loneliness. I don't know why I said that. That ain't even in the script. But Christians need to never be lonely. You know, we should never be lonely as Christians, my brothers and sisters. Amen? You know why? Because we have a friend that sits closer than any brother. Did y'all know that? And that promise to abide in us forever. Did you know that once you give your life to Christ, you never have to be lonely because you got somebody? Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, neighbor, you got somebody. Kathy, and it ain't Brother Rick's, you got somebody. Shawnee, I know you love pudding, but it ain't pudding. You got somebody else. Deacon Smith, I know you love Minister Smith, but you got somebody else. Oh, we all got two somebodies. Amen. Watch this. John 14 and 16. Look at this. And in my Bible, it's written in red. What about yours? I believe Jesus is talking. Amen. I like them red, them words that's written in red. Amen. Oh, man, I'm sorry for holding y'all. I know it's time to go. Look what Jesus said. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. He said, I know y'all used to me since I'm riding with you, I'm rolling with you, teaching, preaching with you. But guess what? I pray the Father, he's going to send you another comforter that he may abide with you. How long? Wait a minute. Now, he said on Sunday. No, he said on Wednesday and Sunday. He said when you're singing in the choir. Forever. So guess what? When we give our life to Christ, we got somebody forever. We got to worry about him leaving. Amen. We don't have to worry about getting some of those papers. We don't have to worry about getting served at work. The comfort will be with us forever. My brothers and sisters, the trial of your faith, we're going to go through trials in our faith. But I just want us to be ready. Amen? Because 1 Peter 1 and 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The things that you've gone through in life, my brothers and sisters, were not in vain. Amen? Amen. We have to trust that God is in control. Amen? There's a story about a lady, amen, that was a traveling saleswoman. Because I heard it to my clothes. I would hoop this, but. As I hurried to my clothes. Well, I can hoop, but we're not going to hoop this morning. But there was a lady that was a traveling saleswoman. She was a devout Christian. She had given her life to Christ. She kept her Bible on a dashboard in her car. And everywhere she went, she would always say a prayer, Lord, take care of me. Lord, watch over me. My brothers and sisters, she had faith in God. But you know, every once in a while, our faith gets tested. Amen? She pulls up to a rural little country gas station. She was getting close to running out of gas. She said, let me pull over here. And she pulled over. And she noticed that the pumps were pay inside only. Y'all know how we are. We like to just swipe and get on. But she was a little irritated because she had to go in the store. So she goes in the store, she pays for gas, she comes back out. Lady had faith in God. She goes back out to the pump. She hits the switch. Tries to pump the gas. Nothing happens. She's like, I got somewhere to be. She looks at the window. She looks in the window. The guy's just standing there. She turns it off and turns it back on. In her heart, she's upset. She said, what these old country places everywhere? I need to get out of here. Turns it off, turns it on, tries to pump again. Nothing happens. So she walks back in the store very quickly. And she approaches the man that was at the counter. And she begins to give him a piece of her mind. Now I came here and paid for my gas. And I expect when I go back out, I'm the only person here. All you had to do was turn the pumps on. Can you? Can you work with me, sir, please? He said, ma'am, I've already called 911. He said, because when you came into the store, a man crawled into the back seat of your car. And when you went back out and tried to pump the gas, I didn't turn the pumps on for you. And I knew you'd have to come back in to tell me to turn the pumps back on. So when the police arrived just seconds later, and when they pulled the man out of the back seat, he was a notorious gang member. He was a notorious gang member that had already killed two people that were trying to get across country. And he told him, he said, I had every intention of taking her out and taking her car. But ain't God good? Her faith was tested there for a second. But the Bible says that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Ain't God all right this morning? So no matter what's going on in your life, sometimes things may not be turning on. Sometimes things may not be moving as quick as you think they ought to be moving. But God is working in the equation. Amen? I'm so glad that Christ is in my equation. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's worthy. The trial of our faith. So guess what? When traffic is moving slow, just ride with it. Because he may be keeping you from a car accident. Have faith. When you wake up late, don't trip. Get dressed and good. Because he might be saving you. Amen? God is so awesome, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. We serve a risen Savior that has sent us a comforter. Amen? Oh. If there's anybody here today that's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day. Give your life.